This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us. And our special guest on today's 5x5, Tony Dastra. Tony, welcome to the program.
It's nice to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm on the city's planning commission currently. That's a new thing for me.
Is that right? For our global audience, Lancaster City.
Lancaster City, which is, you know, the most important city on the entire planet. I am the chairperson of the Gold Goose Party, which is something me and my brother are working here locally to build, which is a third-party option.
It's a brand new political party.
Brand new, because we need more, right?
We do.
Yeah.
We just need more. More politics, people. More politics. And I'm the newest employee team member of the Candy Factory.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Welcome aboard.
What is the Candy Factory?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Do we make candy? Of course we don't. The Candy Factory is a co-working and social club located right here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the greatest city on the planet, according to Tony Dastra.
Yes, sir.
Membership started at $100 a month. That's a community membership. Basically, it gets you access to this co-working space anytime the doors are open, Monday through Thursday, 8 to 6, Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays, 9 to noon. I know, everybody.
That's good.
I get mixed reactions to Saturday.
Why?
Because it's like... who wants to work on Saturday?
It's a wonderful time. Just come show up, do the crossword, have a cup of coffee.
It's a great place to just hang out on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. So anyway, coworkinginlancaster.com. Schedule a tour. You can check out this awesome media studio. You can check out 25,000 square feet.
Whoa!
Of coworking. Diggs, so nice to see you, my friend.
You too.
Always my pleasure. Oh. If you're new to the program, here's how it works. So I have an iPad. His name is Frank. He's sitting right here. Frank is going to dish up five random topics. We're going to talk about each topic for 5 minutes. We're going to hear a little jingle. We might do a little dance if you're lucky.
No.
Then we're going to move on to the next topic. That's it.
They get the dance at the top. They don't need mid-show dances. If you're watching on your favorite video provider.
That's right.
I got a name for when I dance.
Mm.
So, Tony, we're talking politics with you. Politics and a co-working employee. Just to frame this.
Yeah.
Just to frame this conversation where this could go.
Yeah.
Go right. Anywhere.
Here we go.
No Frank. Tracks on this train.
This is episode 57 of the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast, and we're going to roll right now. Frank, give me topic number one of this episode of 5x5.
Oh, my God! No. Turn me back on. I have shit to say.
What is it?
I have shit to say.
What is it?
No.
I can't see.
No. It's Chick-fil-A.
Yo, so I was just at a zoning hearing board meeting in Manheim Township. Do you know about this? Do you know about
it? Yeah, I know about it.
Do you know about me doing this?
You need to calm down. We need to take.
Well, set
topic
it up.
Number one shouldn't be Chick-fil-A. It should be take a deep breath, Tony.
Okay,
just take a deep breath.
But set it up, because you have to start. Don't just start with Manheim. You got to start with the Chick-fil-A at... okay.
For the members
of Pike, Fruitvale Pike. Chick-fil-A?
Yes, I'll set it up.
Thank you. And for the members of our global audience, there's obviously a Chick-fil-A controversy here in Lancaster County. Diggs.
Yes. Okay. So what had happened was there's a Chick-fil-A at this new shopping mall, newish shopping mall.
Shopping center.
Thank you. That's, yeah.
Urban Planner over here.
Where it's set up in a at a point in the intersection where. People, the turning lanes aren't done properly. So there's only one lane of turning into the Chick-fil-A. It backs up onto a major road called Fruitvale Pike, and it causes all sorts of traffic problems in major, like during rush hour when people are trying to get home or get to work. It's a nightmare. It turns I never go that far up Fruitvale, like in high traffic points. There is a nearby municipality, I guess, that is also trying to put in a Chick-fil-A, and this is where
same
I'll hand
one.
Over to...
Same one. So this Chick-fil-A is in Manheim Township. The original Chick-fil-A that is causing problems is in Manheim Township. This second one is on the other end of the township. And my frustration is that I have not seen a Chick-fil-A that manages their traffic flow well.
No, they don't. They're not built. Because they're
kind of known for that, right?
That, yeah.
If they should be. Like, there's so many reasons why somebody shouldn't go to Chick-fil-A, but like... the reason I don't go is like, why would I waste my time? Like, half of it's waiting.
Yeah.
Half of it's waiting. Like, Chick-fil-A, if you're listening, and I hope you are listening because I have things to say. Like,
the idea that someone from Chick-fil-A would be listening to this podcast just tickles me to no end. But please, continue. So
they were proposing, and I think they're still pursuing potentially this new facility located on Airport Road in Manheim Township. And they, instead of just going with their typical double drive-through, they're now proposing a triple drive-through. And
well, that's they kind of
the idea that that's going to fix the problem.
No, that's fair.
No, it's not going to fix anything.
That's fair.
It's going to just keep making it. Like, when do we come up with a quadruple, quintuple, septuple? No, that's seven. Sestuple. I don't know.
Octuple. I don't know where you're going with this, but I know what you're saying.
I'm like, about to fight him in a nonagon.
We can have 10 chick. There could be 10 Chick-fil-A lanes. It's like your paycheck, right?
Yeah.
No matter how much money you make, you will spend it, right? It will go away. Yeah. It's the same thing. No matter how many lanes of Chick-fil-A they put in, mm-hmm. there will be a line. There will be 10 lanes worth of line.
See, I was hoping you were going to say with that paycheck, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
No.
Oh, no.
It just disappears. It just disappears faster and faster.
Yeah, that'll never happen.
Oh, all I wanted to know about was the chicken.
Well, I'll say this. One, I did stop going. I have stopped, officially stopped going. I was one of those, unfortunately, folks that didn't really know how, like, not, okay. I understand that there are religious folks out there who have deeply held beliefs, but when you infringe on other people's rights, to me, you've gone too far. But that's my opinion. So I don't like the funding priorities of the family that owns Chick-fil-A.
Sure.
If you don't know, look it up. you should know by now.
We'll put a link in the show notes.
If that's not relevant to you, you know.
Well, yeah, true. So now I'll freely admit, before I was fully aware of their situation, I would strategically drive. I went to college here in Lancaster. Grew up in Brooklyn. I would strategically drive to and from Brooklyn not on a Sunday, so that I could pick up their chicken, either on my way to or from college or New York and back. I don't know what it is, why it's good, because it really has no right to be as good as it is. And it is true, despite what the family or whoever the ownership stands for, you go in there, they are going to treat you right. It's
great customer service.
Amazing customer service.
We'll not lie about that.
But yes, I can't support what the family that owns corporate. I do understand that there are some franchisees that say, listen, I'm just in this for the business. I don't actually support what they do. There are some of them are even
you
open on
Sunday.
You can
separate the art from the artist, the chick from the filet. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to know for sure. It's just not worth it. So,
yeah.
I wanted to know is about the chicken. Is the chicken any good?
It is good.
It's good.
Look, it's good, it's objectively still fast. Good. It's still fast food.
It's
still fast food chicken. And when I look at the line that's 45 minutes long to go through a drive-through to eat a sandwich in my car, I don't feel like that it's worth that.
I'd go to Sheetz instead.
I would go to Sheetz. I would go to Sheetz and get an MTO. There's no line.
I'm on record
and
being
faster.
Against that, but in this case, I would. I would agree. I know if you've heard this before on the show, I apologize. I just don't understand going to a gas station for food. But
Sheetz is so much more than a gas station. We're going to talk about that another time, though.
It's heaven in disguise.
No, it's a gas station.
Wow. Well, topic number. Hey, it's officially Sunday, and topic number one is closed. It's time to move on to topic number two of this episode. It's 5x5, which is Seinfeld.
Ugh.
Seinfeld.
Right. Speaking of chicken, you want to talk about chicken?
Talk to me about Seinfeld and chicken.
It's just what was the name of that chicken joint? There was a chicken joint that opened up outside of Kramer's window, and his apartment turned red. So he's
I'm going to admit I've only seen. I'm not a Seinfeld fanatic.
Fair enough.
I have not turned it off.
Fair. We could also talk about the man.
We could, but I've seen. I don't know. Several dozen Seinfeld episodes.
Okay.
Are you a fan, Tony?
I can't say that I've probably seen an episode of Seinfeld at some point in my life. Isn't Seinfeld the one where the episodes end with the guy going and doing a stand-up?
they begin and end that way, yes.
Jerry Seinfeld, yes. That's the guy.
The guy
with the name that the show's named
What's his name again?
Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry what?
Seinfeld. This is the one. All right, we're moving on. So I used to watch Jerry Seinfeld doing stand-up in the 80s. My dad and I were big fans of stand-up, and we were big fans of late-night television.
Oh.
So
did
I remember,
the stand-up
like,
come before the show?
Yeah. No. This was like... Yeah, his stand-up... He was a stand-up guy. Like, he was a stand-up comedian. Very well-known. One of the more well-known in the 80s and the early 90s. And then... when did that show start? It was like late 80s.
89, 90.
89, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we used to watch him on Johnny Carson and David Letterman. And he was one of my favorites. I just really liked him. So when the show came out, I was pretty excited about it, but I was sort of ending my run watching TV. Because I was in college and I didn't have a television.
Mm. Ah.
And when I went to Tennessee following college, I didn't have any money.
Ah.
And then I just got out of the habit.
This is turning into the J.G. Whitworth commercial.
So,
877 cash now.
Yeah. But it was it was such a huge show in the 90s. I mean, when it was on live, it was one of those shows.
What was the must-see TV lineup? Wasn't that? I might need to fact check. I'll fact check that.
Wait, can J.G. Wentworth hit me because I just sang that? Is J.G. Wentworth coming for their money now?
Yeah, probably.
Well, it was Wentworth GJ, so no.
Wentworth
not.
GJ.
The YouTube algorithm's going to let that one through.
I think so.
All right.
I think so.
I've seen Seinfeld on Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis, and Cardi B was the other guest.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know what was fake and what was real, but I feel like in the modern day, Seinfeld, the man, not the show,
right.
People just love to really dump on him.
Really? Oh. Yeah. Wait, what was the...
He's just... Look, Jerry Seinfeld, may I call you Jerry, if you're listening, just like I expect
Chick-fil-A
corporate
to listen. The fact that Jerry Seinfeld would watch this podcast just tickles me to death. I love it.
Be tickled.
Hey, Jer.
Go ahead. Hey, Jer. What's up, bro? Like, why?
What did he do?
Like, yeah, what did Jerry Seinfeld do? Anyway?
I don't think he did. I think that's the thing. He's just so vanilla. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, because he's credited with Dad Core. Is that what that's called?
I'm sorry. What?
I didn't make that up.
That's I don't know what it is, but it sounds awesome.
No, Dad, it's like his shtick, his get up from the show, like the jeans button up, the like tucked in belt, that sort of look.
The button down shirt tucked in.
Yeah, button down shirt. Yeah, the whole thing. Like that. He's
light
credited
jeans.
With that, and got then it. Like he did. He's I think he's still doing Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Great show.
And yes, most of them are great.
some of them
aren't great, but. He then sort of brought that look onto Comedians in Cars, but then added like a jacket, like a blazer to it. So then it's like Dadcore 2.0. Is he vanilla? Yeah, he is vanilla, but he's just Seinfeld. I'm like, yeah.
I don't know. When he went back to doing stand up again, like in the last, I don't know, I saw some of his
5-6 years. He's been.
I saw some of his. He's the guy's just freaking funny. I mean, he's just become such an icon.
I think he needed to like recharge after Seinfeld.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I'm glad they didn't immediately go back into stand up. Like,
right.
Like right after the show ended, whenever that was, in 98, 99, because it sort of. And actually, all of them. Well, I think Michael Richards tried to go back into stand up, and then something. This is Kramer. Kramer's the crazy guy with the hair.
A racist tirade.
Yeah, he went off the deep end.
Caught on a cell phone camera, like not a nice one.
No,
not like an iPhone, but like on one of those little flip phones,
like a Nokia.
Yeah, like a Nokia.
It was grainy, but
it was bad.
But the sound was clear.
It was very.
Yeah,
we heard
what
he said.
You
can hear that dog whistle.
Oh, it was bad. Yeah,
that's right.
But I'll also give him credit because instead of like trying to sugarcoat it, like he went on Comedians in Cars and was just like, "Yeah, I screwed up."
Yeah.
Full stop. Yeah. I apologize. Like no equivocation. No, like I was tired. I was strung out or what? No, it was just like I fucked up. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that was planned, but it is what it is.
Favorite character from the show?
Oh, that's hard.
Tony, you haven't watched the show enough.
My favorite character is obviously Jerry Seinfeld.
Clearly,
there you go.
I know you're a big fan.
Huge.
If you had to push me, Elaine.
You like Elaine?
It's got to be Elaine. Like, just because she's just like, without her, like. Like, what is the show? Like, it's just three dudes.
But aren't they the Beatles, really? I mean, they're without any of them.
No, because you...
Who could you get rid of off that show?
Maybe Jerry Seinfeld?
No, I mean, like, I'm saying... Well, actually...
You probably could.
Probably, yeah, because he wasn't...
Would anybody notice?
Probably not. I mean, you'd notice. You would notice now.
Is there an episode without him? Let's find out.
That's a good question.
Great question.
I don't know. perfect way to end.
If you're on the internet, do whatever you do on the internet to leave a comment and let us know if there's an episode of Seinfeld without Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah. But the end credits are rolling on to topic number two, my friends, and it's time to move on to topic number three, which is pasta.
All right, bet.
You're cheating looking. It's pasta.
Oh.
Yeah, stop cheating.
You can't. Well, I don't have my glasses on. You don't know what I can and can't see.
Are you a fan of pasta? Do you like to eat pasta?
So, yes, but I've just recently discovered around these environs that pasta means, like, pasta is the catch-all for different types of actual pasta, which just, I, Lancaster, I love you, but one thing, the chicken pot pie thing, again, that's a
don't
soup.
Don't you dare.
It's a soup. It is soup.
Mm-mm.
Really?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Well, actually, speaking of pasta on that train, like, adding pasta to, or whatever pasta you want to call it, to that chicken pot pie soup.
Apologize. Apologize.
No.
But I just want to say right now, this is the most controversial 5x5 we've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to topics number 4 and 5.
But I love it. I love it. It's going back to the pasta thing. It's just like, I do understand that there is a general catch. Like, pasta is a subsection.
It's a thing, right? It's like a thing. Noodles.
Yes. But then, like, when I ask specifically what pasta you're using, don't just answer with pasta. That doesn't help. Like, I can't. Fair. I don't know what I'm ordering. Then is it spaghetti? Is it a fusilli? Is it a, like?
There's a distinct difference between these different pastas.
Yes. Like, could you imagine a lasagna with spaghetti? But if you just say pasta, what is it?
Well, it's actually not a bad idea.
Isn't lasagna with spaghetti a different dish?
I'm gonna call my friends at Rosa
isn't
Rosa.
Lasagna, Rosa Rosa's like, yo, Lancaster MVP right there.
Yeah, I'm gonna call my friends at Rosa Rosa and see if you want to do a spaghetti lasagna.
Yeah, well, no, so, like, I guess that's the thing, is, like, isn't a lasagna a type of pasta? So, like, isn't a lasagna without lasagna?
No, lasagna's a dish with pasta layers, technically. So that's why I'm like,
what's the pasta used in lasagna, then?
That's a great question.
Oh.
Like, that's what I'm saying. If you Google it and it says lasagna, I'm on a trip, homie.
Our research department is now looking up what kind of pasta is used in lasagna. So Tony's demonstrating this confusion with...
Let's talk about pasta, spaghetti pizza, Rosa Rosa.
Are you a fan?
Oh my God. I actually used to work there briefly.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the... I mean, I got it the other... I would say New Year's, around New Year's, the first time I got I'm all tripped up.
The lasagna pizza.
The lasagna pizza. You guys should try that. Lasagna pizza or spaghetti lasagna. I got the lasagna... The I must stop this right now.
Yeah, spaghetti pizza.
The spaghetti pizza from Rosa Rosa. For those of you in our global audience, Rosa Rosa is a pizza shop over on Harrisburg Pike, and they make this dish.
It is one of them. I actually had it last night.
Which is a spaghetti pizza. Describe it. It's more like a pie.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely
more like
a
pie. Like almost like an apple pie.
That pizza pie.
With spaghetti inside.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Stuffed. Almost like a stuffed...
It's got that beautiful top, just like it's some sort of apple pie coming out of Granny's kitchen. But
right,
Angelo,
it's got the crisscross.
It's
right?
Got the crissy crossies. Mm-hmm. Yes,
it does look like an apple pie. Yeah, what's it?
Wait, is the research department?
No, finish this. I'll come in.
Moral of the story: if you come to Lancaster, you need to go to Rosa Rosa's and get a slice of spaghetti pizza and at least try it. All right, it's not everybody's cup of tea. Like my younger brother doesn't like it as much, but I. Love it.
Look, that might say there are things about Rosa Rosa that I do love. The baked ziti is fantastic.
Yes,
the baked ziti is fantastic. We had some the other night. Yes. The pizza's great. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm going to order a pizza, I'm going to order it from Rosa Rosa. Mm-hmm. But I tried there, and they have the shirts that say something about spaghetti.
Did you get a slice last night?
Well, there's the get a piece.
Did you get a piece last night?
And they have the spaghetti pizza shirt. So I said I got to try this thing, and I tried it. And I got to say. It was a 6. It was a 6 out of 10 for me. Okay. Well, it was a 6 out of 10 for me. I'm going to get the ziti. It's not like what? I'm not going to go back to Rosa Rosa. Don't look at me like that.
What? I'm going to look at you like that, man. That's a 10. That's a dime piece right
there.
Well,
I want to ask, was it fresh when you got it or was it reheated?
No, it was fresh. I went up to went through the drive-thru.
Oh.
And I got a cheese pizza with maybe a half a pepperoni or something, and then I got the spaghetti pizza, brought it back to the house. I'm in the neighborhood.
Oh, you got a whole pie. Okay.
But did you use the sauce?
I did whatever they told me to do.
Did you use the sauce?
There's a sauce?
Yo, if you don't have spaghetti pizza with the sauce, you ain't living.
Is it a dipping sauce? You're getting culinary tips.
I will say it's like a dipping sauce, like, but I will admit I'm a little finicky, so I actually will sometimes even sip the sauce and then eat the slice to make sure I get that maximum mixture in there. Like, it's a little messy. You know,
you've gone too far.
No.
You've crossed the line.
Sipping the sauce.
You're sipping marinara sauce. Tony Dastra is doing shots of marinara sauce on 5x5.
I mean, there are worse things it could be.
That's true.
So I have an answer.
Bring it back to us.
It is both. For lasagna, to refresh. Lasagna is both the pasta used and the name of the dish that is commonly called lasagna. Also, I did know this. I don't know how to do the differentiation though. Lasagne is the plural that we normally use apparently in the States, and lasagna is the singular.
I just held back a scream.
I appreciate that. Can you tell me what so what we say is lasagna.
Lasagna is in the plural sense, but we say it for everything. A singular lasagna.
What is a singular lasagna?
It's the single sheet.
Oh, a sheet of the pasta, like the actual, when you pull it out of the box, if you're making it homemade.
Yeah.
And so have the...
The problem is I can't read phonetic, so I don't know if I'm saying
I'm not
going to
look. No looking. See no evil.
I don't even have a segue. I got so discombobulated when the music came in on that one. So we're moving on to topic number four.
The pasta fell off the wall.
Which is sort of in the same vein. It's biscotti.
Oh, is it?
Oh, the little jaunt you get at Starbucks.
Well, isn't it Italian? It's an Italian cookie.
Was at Starbucks. It is an Italian cookie.
They sell it at Starbucks.
Yes.
Biscotti's like a long, thin. What you do is you make it like a loaf, mm-hmm. and you cut it like a loaf of bread, and it's a crunchy cookie, like an Italian cookie. Called biscotti. Mm-hmm.
It's great, and I of course it's at Starbucks because I prefer it when you can dunk it into.
You're a biscotti dunker.
A warm substance, usually coffee for me, or Americano technically.
Warm to coffee be even substance. Closer.
A warm coffee like substance. Let's go with that. That's what I was actually trying to say. What I don't like, if I'm going to be honest,
Please.
Is when there's too much because you can even like that the frosting layer or like. I don't know, sprinkly things or seeds. I don't like it with the seeds. Like, that's just...
Okay.
Because then if you dunk it into the coffee, then the seeds end up falling into...
Those are just nutrients for later.
I'm going to say that I agree with you. In my experience with biscotti, a lot of it has ended up in the coffee. And there's been like a layer of remnants.
Yes.
Or... residue, biscotti residue at the top. Like, in theory, it's a fantastic idea. There was a place over on Walnut, Anita's. I don't think it's there anymore. It was a bakery, and they specialized in biscotti. My friend Randy B and I would go over there. When I say we'd go over there, I mean we went like twice. and we would get the biscotti, and we would dip it in the coffee. And plus, you know, a lot of people in my family have made biscotti over the years.
See this dipping issue?
And I would dip it.
You don't have it when you drink
when you do shots of the of the marinara.
I mean, it's the same phenomenon. We're talking about the same issue here.
Sort of.
No, we are talking about the exact same thing. You don't want to ruin the purity of what you're drinking, or you know.
Yeah, it's different with marinara sauce.
No,
absolutely.
It's a coffee-like substance.
No, listen to me. With the marinara sauce, the instructions that come with the spaghetti pizza are to. Put the marinara sauce on the pizza.
Oh, do they have an instruction sheet?
Yeah, there's a manual that comes with it.
I'm sorry. Yellow flag. We can't go back to a previous topic. We get it.
I'm sorry, audience.
Come on.
So you're okay. I'll stop that thought, and I would just say I'm not going to pour my coffee onto the biscotti. We are dipping the biscotti into the coffee, which is what it's kind of known for.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that maybe there's like, it's possible that there's like a purist sort of an original or traditional biscotti that doesn't crumb.
Well, I don't dip. I don't do that.
At all.
Like, so...
You just crunch it?
When I, for example, when I enjoy a granola bar at the candy factory, and you have to stop by, I will enjoy my granola bar, and then, like, I'll bite the granola bar and take a sip of coffee. Mm-hmm. Like, not going back to any topics, this it's the same concept, though. Like,
as something we previously discussed. So we can say that.
Like,
I just made up that rule.
You can't. Oh, you just made up that rule?
There's never been a rule.
I'm sorry.
There's no rules.
I didn't mean that.
It's 5x5 for crying out loud.
No, but I feel you. I feel you when it comes to the granola and the coffee.
I feel lied to and betrayed.
That I apologize.
There's a lot of controversy in this episode. I love it.
It's great. it's the controversial show.
I'm here to break the microphone and break your screen.
So,
But you know that I feel that. I also just had a thought in terms of like the like in Europe, most coffee is like actually like an espresso. Like if you're ordering coffee, you're getting an espresso shot. So in theory, if you're getting the biscotti with it, there's less.
Less the
volume
dip.
To then lose
espresso
the
espresso on yeah. the biscotti.
You're really just
in that case, that could work.
You're really just doing a little stir.
Yeah,
just a little stir.
There's not a lot of time for detritus.
If I walk into a coffee shop and say, if I walk into a coffee shop, it's like Paris,
mm-hmm.
and I ask for coffee,
mm.
will I get espresso?
I can't speak to Paris.
All right, well, let's say the UK.
You will get because of your accent, you actually might get.
Like
drip.
Real coffee.
You might get drip, but they'll look at you funny.
Because of my accent.
No, because they don't respect it.
Oh.
I can't blame them. You know, if I butchered an English accent, I would get.
Well, I feel like if we only could, so we just had a wonderful woman who grew up in England on the show a couple episodes ago. If only we could drop her in right now. Her name's Mabel. Go back and listen. It's 55, I believe.
55.
If only we could drop her in to explain this, but like I got yelled at when I was over there once, and I truly wanted an Americano because that's normally what I order. Like in our sense, the espresso and hot water.
Yeah, sure.
But when I said Americano in London, they wanted to give me drip coffee because
it's American. Because it's American.
Yes, and coffee. I was like, no, I want the espresso and hot water. I was like, well, that's coffee. I'm like. What?
Oh.
Yeah, so like I had to keep I kept
They have a different Americano.
Yes, it's so the so that
So it's I, not I, like I, it's not like a United Kingdomano.
Right, but they would assume No, that's yeah, no there isn't.
Should be.
It should be. But England-ano. No, so they just assume if you're American like most at least in London this has happened to me. If I said coffee, they would assume I meant their version of Americano.
I'm just going to be grateful if I ever ask like thank you, sir.
Also like they're a tea drinking culture, so like
right.
They
teetotalers.
I feel like a dumb. I'm sorry.
Well, this cup is empty even though the topic was biscotti.
Yeah.
The crumbs have shed from the biscotti.
Into the coffee.
For topic number four. We're on to topic number five, which is, Oreos.
Ooh. Well, I don't dunk them in coffee, so I think
we've stayed on food. We're in the kitchen for this episode, and we are now talking about a cookie. Because I was gonna ask about cookies.
Okay, cookies.
So it's a perfect
biscuits.
Segue. Do you dip cookies? Biscotti's like a cookie, right?
Mm.
It's like a long, thin cookie.
Yes.
So let's go to Oreos. Let's go to cookies. Do you dip an Oreo?
Are you a Oreo milk dunker, dipper?
It's honestly been a minute, but
since you've had an Oreo.
Actually, yes. Since I've had an Oreo, because there's too much just straight up sugar in those. Like,
yeah.
Just like that.
They're not what they used to be. They're not what they used to be.
My sugar addiction's not what it used to be.
So that's good. That's a good thing.
Maybe. I don't know. But I will dip a cookie in milk because, like, that milk is basically a meal. Like, the coffee isn't really a nutrient thing. Like, the milk, though, I'm like, all right, sweeten the milk.
Oh, I see.
Like, there's a whole different phenomenon there. Like, you know, there's levels to this, all right? There's layers to this.
Well, you're not dipping into, a drink. But you're dipping into a drink that is that is more meal-like.
I'm preparing the milk by dipping the cookie.
So,
but the
what,
coffee
what
is already prepared.
Yeah, what cookies?
Are we talking about?
Any cookie that I like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well,
okay.
Share
what cookies do you like? Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'll eat like a chocolate chip or a macadamia nut cookie.
Mm-hmm.
See,
I just don't... So, like, I have a cutoff. Like, I feel like there's that trope of dunking like chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
And so truly my brain, when you said cookies, I just went straight chocolate chip and that's it. But like, I can't think of like a Milano as a cookie. I don't see myself dunking that in the milk or.
No?
No.
Is that like the Pepperidge Farm?
Mm-hmm. Like any of that Pepperidge Farm stuff, except for chocolate chip, obviously. Like, I feel like.
You're not dipping.
No, I just want to.
How about Girl Scout?
Ooh,
the coconut cookies. Oh man, if you have a coconut anything, like
you dipping Girl
I'm not
Scout?
No, I'm not dipping the Girl
no,
Scout.
No, you just like it.
Oh, you're not.
Like those are cookies that I will eat on their own. Like coconut cookies, it almost seems like anything coconut topped, like those cupcakes we had at the Candy Factory yesterday, you should come stop on by.
Coworkinginlancaster.com. Schedule a tour.
Absolutely. You can see my face in real life.
He won't yell at you.
Well, I might yell, but I won't yell at you.
Depends
well,
on what you bring up. I mean, if you're like, I just got back from Chick-fil-A.
Don't walk in with Chick-fil-A.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Boil over.
What was it? Girl Scout cookies. Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, yeah. No, I like coconut top stuff. If it's a chocolate-based cookie, I tend to dip it in milk. Like, that just seems to be the thing. But if it's a coconut something...
That's a fair.
Yeah. Like, coconut's honestly a really appealing thing for me.
All right, bringing it back to Oreos. Double stuff, regular stuff, or thins? Biggs.
Regular, but, let me... I actually the thins, like the mini?
Oh no no, there's the micro ones too. There's the little mini ones too. But the thins are the, I think it's a relatively new phenomenon. And it's a super thin Oreo.
Oh, so I like the thin micro ones because those are just like,
damn,
you could just like,
yeah, you could make a bowl of cereal out of those.
Well, there was Oreo cereal. That was a thing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
There was.
I don't know if it's still a thing, but
I'm not sure.
It was too much.
Sounds like it is by default.
Tony, if you brought it back to Oreos, I know it's been a while. Double stuff, regular stuff, or thins?
So I guess to tether the Girl Scout concept in here, I really do like thin mint Oreos.
I thought that's where that
was
going.
Yeah, this is going thin mint.
Yeah.
Them thin mints.
See, I'm a double They're stuff mint. Guy. I'm a double stuff
it's
guy.
It's just too much.
No, bring it.
Ugh.
Bring it. I cut that shit with a knife.
The ratio's off. Like,
No. Give it more. I do triples. I would do quadruple stuff.
I just like the stuff.
I would do an Oreo that's this thick.
Show. I love it.
Would you do an Oreo club? Like, would you add another like layer of
what the hell? Now I'm imagining like a club, like mayonnaise like a, in there.
Oh no. I like what you're saying though with a club cookie.
Yeah.
Where you have you know how a club sandwich has like the ham and the turkey. And there's a slice of bread in between, and it's a different thing. What if you made like a club cookie that had like a chocolate chip on the outside, and you had an Oreo in the middle? Yeah, right. Like
now that,
and you layered, and you made it really big, like the size of a pie.
That sounds like too much.
No, it sounds awesome.
That's diabetes in a pan. Diabetes.
It's a we're American.
Diabetes. Yeah. Listen, we will keep Wilford Brumley alive for in perpetuity. I hope you're still alive, to be honest, because I love those commercials.
Because they're watching too.
But right, yeah. That's a hospital visit. That's like you're in a sugar coma. That's
a loss of a foot right there.
Well,
yeah.
I'm lobbying for club cookies.
I think
layers of cookies.
But like, would you start mixing? So like you said, chocolate.
I'm mixing for variety.
I'm okay with that.
I think you could find. Now, I'm not saying that all the combinations are going to work, right? This is like you're going to have to do some research, and it's
cookieology. This is what Cookie Monster.
It's exactly what Cookie Monster wanted.
It's a veggie monster.
The science of cookies.
I love it.
The crumbs have reached the floor.
They have.
On this
and
episode
that's
of
the
five.
Way the cookie
that's
crumbles.
It. On this episode of 5x5. That's the fastest 25 minutes in podcasting.
Ding.
Does it feel like it just started to you? I feel like we're still on topic number one.
I'm stuck on the Chick-fil-A.
Thank God. Yeah, thank God we're not on topic number
time,
one. That got
time
pretty tense.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
Tony Dastra, it's my pleasure to have you on the program.
Oh, we're still filming. Hi.
Yeah, thank you so much for being
and
here.
And bye.
Glad you're at the Candy Factory. You know, it's not his first rodeo at the Candy Factory.
That's true.
Years ago, Tony was a member of the Candy Factory. Now he's helping to sail the ship.
Yes. That job is why I study urban planning.
Front desk, you come into the Candy Factory, the first face you're going to see, at least if it's before 12:30 on weekdays, is going to be Tony Dastra.
This is true.
Thanks.
12:30 Eastern.
Yeah, Eastern time. GMT. What's that GMT?
5:30.
Yeah. Up until 5:30 GMT, you can catch Tony weekdays. It sounds like a TV show.
It does.
Weekdays on TCF.
Maybe it should be.
Tony Dastra at the Candy Factory. Hey, thanks everybody for checking us out. If you're probably on the internet right now. So do whatever you do when you're on the internet by clicking things, leaving comments, subscribing on whatever platform you're watching us or hearing us on. We'd really appreciate it.
We would.
Click the button, do the thing.
Do the thing.
Perfect.
And we will catch you next time on 5. Bye. 5.
Bing bong.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is produced at So Good Media Studio at The Candy Factory,
a co-working and social club located in downtown Lancaster, PA.
The show is hosted by Jason Mundock and Robert Diggs, with music by John Chin.
Yeah, yeah. He's a really cool guy. Find 5x5
at the Candy Factory website, coworkinginlancaster.com.